201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Lance Meadow, John Schmelk, Paul Dottino, the three-man booth already. Mayhem, it's haywire. It's going nuts here at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. Three preseason games in, and the Giants, frankly, are probably not where they want to be right now. There are still some issues in terms of the offense, getting things together. The offensive line had some issues as well on Saturday night against the Jets. But, of course, the big news, and guys, we'll start with this. Stevie Brown lost for the year with a torn ACL. Everyone feared the worst after it was a non-contact injury on Saturday night. And we worried that it could be a torn ligament. It was. And quite frankly, if you go through this roster, and Lance, we'll start with you, it's not an easy guy to replace because no one else really has that skill set to replace Stevie Brown as a coverage safety. It's not going to be easy.
It's going to hurt them tremendously, especially with his playmaking ability, the fact that he was able to collect 8 interceptions last season. And here's another statistic that he doesn't get enough credit for, John and Paul. He had over 300 yards in terms of returns after the interception. So it wasn't just necessarily his ability to get in position to force turnovers, but also then give the offense even better field position by tallying so much yardage after the pick. And he showed that clearly against the Jets the other night. Unfortunately, it was one of those freak non-contact injuries. But here's why they brought in Ryan Mundy. Here's why they brought Aaron Ross back. They brought these guys back to add some depth. I think they currently have some weapons on this roster that they should be able at least momentarily to fill the void.
Well, you know, Lance, the one guy who seems to have gotten lost in this shuffle, and rightfully so because he's going to miss the first 4 games of the regular season because of the drug suspension, is Will Hill. This is a guy who showed a lot last year as a rookie, made this team. The Giants really thought that he was going to be a part of this mix.
Let's
and then obviously
showed a
the offseason.
Showed a lot.
Showed that he could play on special teams and could play that third safety on occasion. So, yeah, that's a lot.
He really didn't do a whole lot in the regular season, Paul. He had a couple flashes in the preseason, nothing spectacular.
John, I think from talking to the coaching staff, they think he's got a future in this league. And I think that the only –
sixth safety on the depth chart.
The only thing you need to know, because of what happened with his suspension. That's why. In talking to the coaches, what they basically said to me was, that this guy really wrecked himself with the suspension because he would have gotten more reps in practice and he would have been a guy in contention for playing time had he not made a personal mistake. That put him way on the back of the depth chart. Now, the other day I asked Tom Coughlin, and John was there during our production meeting, about, hey, where's he in this mix? Because he's really hurt himself having to miss those 4 games. Guess what? After what happened to Stevie Brown, he's back in this mix. And they're going to have to wait 4 weeks to get him, but he's going to be important to this team.
And he's also going to be important on special teams,
yes,
as you alluded to. But I think it's fair to say, Paul, that he had a greater impact on special teams.
No doubt.
Last season, as opposed to as the safety spot, which is something that John had touched on earlier in the show. If you're going to evaluate his production in a New York Giants uniform so far, I would say he stood out to me on special teams because he's had a few game-changing plays last year that you can look back at as opposed to being that third safety so far on the football field. But time will tell. I think that clearly once all of a sudden his suspension plays out and they have the ability to get him in the mix, they're going to have to use him in some capacity.
Yeah.
Well, look, but here's my issue, though. Will Hill's not here for the first 4 games, okay? You wonder how quickly he's going to be able to come back. He can't even step foot in this facility for the first 4 weeks of the season, let alone work out here or study the playbook, get involved in game plan. So you take a look at who's on the roster at safety at the moment, and none of these guys to me, and this is, I think, where the worry comes in. Ryan Mundy, and Coach said it on his conference call yesterday, a guy that's proven he can be effective near the line of scrimmage, be a bit of a big hitter. But can he be a covered safety? I don't know the answer to that. I think he has the skill set to do it. Can he? I'm not sure. Tyler Sash in his time here. Good around the line of scrimmage, heavy hitter, can support against the run. That's great. He doesn't have the sideline-to-sideline speed to play that deep safety role. Do you really want to put Antro Roll in that spot and take away his playmaking ability in the middle of the field? Another guy who's taken bad angles on deep passes times before. So I think the Giants, depending on how serious Jaron Hosel's injury is, right now it doesn't appear to be that serious. They think he's going to be able to work this week, which really does save the Giants here a little bit. I think for the first 4 weeks of the season, considering how many healthy corners they have now, they're going to have to give serious consideration to playing either Terrell Thomas or Aaron Ross. And I think Ross now might be a little bit more likely, to be honest with you, at that free safety spot to give some help and coverage back there. Because I'm not sure there are other safety candidates on this roster have that sideline-to-sideline speed and ability to do that job as well as the Giants need it done.
Well, I think what you're going to see the biggest change, John, isn't so much in the starting safeties, because they'll go with Mundy and Roll, but when they go to the three-safety package, it could be Ross, it could be Thomas. The other thing I think you're going to see a lot of to get more athleticism on the field is what we've seen during the latter part of training camp and in the preseason games, the Pasinger and Williams combination at linebacker together.
I'll be honest, I don't think we're going to see him as three safeties this year. I don't think we're going to see a lot of three safeties before this injury. I think you're going to see traditional nickel packages with Aaron Ross, Jaron Hosley, or Terrell Thomas as your nickelback. I don't think you're going to see three safeties very much. I really don't.
That remains to be seen. I think a lot of what Perry Fuel has experimented with over the course of the training camp, as he said, is an experiment. I mean, I don't think they're married to anything quite yet. I still think he's tinkering. And how it shakes out is anybody's guess. It may also be a matchup thing, John, where they look at the opponent and they say, okay, look, this opponent does need this mixture. This opponent needs this. They may change a lot week to week.
Well, here's my question for both of you. Maybe you can answer. Maybe you know an answer better than I do. Who's going to be that deep safety that plays center field and play the role that Stevie Brown played before he got hurt? I don't know who that guy's going to be.
Personally, I would be leaning towards Ryan Mundy. I know you threw out concerns about him in the past, but he has experience as a backup. I mean, he filled in for Polamalu and Ryan Clark, who are two different style safeties.
That is accurate.
It's not as if he was just utilized in one specific spot in Pittsburgh. So his versatility should be able to serve as a benefit for the Giants, at least moving forward. On paper, compared to Sash, compared to Will Hill,
I think he's the best choice.
I think he has the best ability to move sideline to sideline.
However, during the offseason, during minicamp, when I was talking to Perry Fuel about this, the idea was originally coming into the season. Last year, as you recall, both Phillips and Roll had gotten hurt at different times, and
right.
Stevie Brown stepped in and had to play for both of them at different times. The problem was, the reason that Antrell Roll was playing so much in the box and Brown was the deep safety was because, quite honestly, Roll was a much better tackler and a much better aggressive style of player attacking the line of scrimmage than Stevie Brown was. And so out of necessity, Stevie Brown became more of the center fielder. The truth of the matter is, if you talk to Antrell Roll, and if you talk to Perry Fuel, back in the spring, the Giants were hoping to make Roll more of the center fielder.
Okay,
that
so maybe
truly
he goes
was
there.
Their thought.
That's possible.
Now, Antrell Roll was very excited about that, saying, well, I'm going to be more of the traditional safety this year. They're going to now try to see what they can do about either putting Brown in the box more if he could handle it, or Mundy, when they signed him, to see if he could be more of a guy in the box in a three-safety package. So to be honest with you, I don't know that this deep safety thing is as much of a problem as you guys think, because they'd like to see Roll do more of that.
Okay, well, I think Roll certainly has a sideline-to-sideline speed to do the job and more speed than Mundy, so I think he would be probably a better fit for that spot. That being said, in the past, when he has played that deep safety role, we have seen some bad angles out of him going after the ball in the air.
There's absolutely no question about it, and I wonder if his occasional recklessness, which is the word I'm going to use back there.
Trying to make a play because
over-aggressive.
Not there a lot. Yeah. All right, I think
over-aggressive.
Fair. I can buy that.
I wonder if that was a byproduct of when he got here, him trying to do too much, or if he just doesn't have the ability to handle that spot. I think it's probably more of him just being over-aggressive at the time.
I think skill set, athlete-wise, Lance, Roll probably is the best fit for that deep spot.
Absolutely. I think that goes without saying. One other name that I want to throw in, and I know we want to get to calls
yep.
momentarily, a player we haven't mentioned at all recently, Cooper Taylor, because he's been dealing with the hamstring issue. To me, he's another option, at least, that you could bring into the box for tackling purposes as opposed to sending him back out into coverage. So if they have that option moving him into the box, to me, then you have to go in the direction of a Roll or Mundy if you want to experiment with that free safety position.
And that hammy thing is just frustrating, Coach. You saw that the other day when we were talking to him, John. It's like, we got to get this guy on the field. He dressed the other night. He was going to be a game-time decision. He dressed the other night against the Jets and then didn't get in. And quite frankly, you're right. I watched cut-ups on him in college. He is definitely a charge the line of scrimmage in the box safety.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Frank is in New York City. Frank, what's going on, pal?
Good morning, guys. How's everything?
What's up, Frank?
So, you know, it is. It's a tough blow for us, but I think everybody needs to calm down a little because I've just seen the overreaction from Giants. Oh, the season's over, this and that. And, you know, look.
Well, that's crazy.
Like Stevie Brown. Stevie Brown stepped up last year. Now someone's going to have to step up this year. And I think the one positive we could take from this is Prince has looked phenomenal. So if he's the guy we thought he's going to be, he will ease the pressure for the safeties and won't. I think we can get past this Stevie Brown injury. Now, I know I saw a lot of Kenny Phillips. If you have a division rival cutting this guy hours after we knew our safety is going to be out for the year, I'd say buyer beware. I'd stay away from Kenny Phillips.
Hey, look, Frank, you're right. And the same reason Kenny Phillips got cut from the Philadelphia Eagles is the same reason he's going to have trouble coming back with any NFL team. The guy's got bum knees, and it's hard to play in the NFL when you have bum knees. It's really that simple.
And here's another red flag regarding Kenny Phillips, Frank, the fact that they have four new secondary players. Kenny Phillips was supposed to be one of those new players, and they already got rid of him. That says a lot about maybe what direction the Eagles are going in or what Phillips lacked and did not show in training camp.
The only thing that I find interesting here is that it's a quad, not a knee, that kept him out of the lineup the last 2 weeks with Philly. You know, I checked with someone in Philly, and they told me he hurt his quad a couple of weeks ago. That's why he's out of practice. It was like when Terrell Thomas missed the first weeks of camp here. Everybody assumed it was a knee. Turned out it had nothing to do with a knee. It was a muscle pull, and we only learned that after the fact. Now, Phillips has a quad problem, not a knee problem. Now, at the same time, you know, I think the Giants should at least check into it. They should call him. They should find out what his medical situation is. If he's healthy, he knows the system, it's a good signing. However, if he's not medically healthy, I'm with you 1,000%, John. You cannot risk bringing him in here because you need to be counting on guys who can get on the field.
Well, there's something to it also. And Frank, thanks a lot for the call, and we appreciate it. We've got a lot of calls in line, guys. We're going to try to get through a little bit quicker today, so we'll try to bounce to you guys relatively quickly. When you have a bad knee, though, it can affect other parts of the body. And I think that's what you look at. You make sure it's not some sort of chain reaction effect. And the Eagles medical staff is really one of the best in the league. So they'll keep an eye on that. And I don't think they would have let a guy like Phillips go, considering his athletic upside, if they thought if it was just a simple quad, he'll be back in a week and it could help him. They don't exactly have a ton of safeties back there ready to play for them. That's actually been a position of weakness of them for a few years.
And you already have safeties that are hurt on the roster that are younger.
Yeah.
To me, I'd rather hold on to them and help them develop than bring in somebody who is injury-plagued. Plus, the other thing to keep in mind is they have done it in the past with Deion Grant, bringing back somebody who's familiar with the system, but at least Deion Grant was healthy. They didn't have to worry about him being an injury-prone player.
201-939-4513. Len is in Columbia, Maryland. Len, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well, Len. What's up?
Good, good. Well, feeling a little chippy this morning, but let me start out with a positive. I said 11 wins 3 weeks ago, and I'm going to stick with that. I think this team's going to win 11 games. Take the linebackers, all six of them, and again, on the Aaron Curry deal, just this is what must drive personnel people crazy. The fourth pick in the draft 4 years ago, And this guy can't make a roster. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Take the linebackers, throw their names in a hat, pick them out, whatever three you got, whatever two you want. You know, Witten, on opening night, might catch 15 balls. He may be the first player into the 2014 Pro Bowl. And, John, you know how much I like the Pro Bowl.
No, you love it. Because it is all about the stars.
He may catch 15. In fact, tight ends this year, Paul, the tight ends in this league might catch 125 balls against the Giants. I mean, that is just, it's incredible. I had a couple of real picky things. Randall on punt returns. I think it was his first punt return. I know guys are coming down. They want to take your head off. You know, you're trying to make a team. You want to make an impression. You're standing on the 10-yard line. How hard is it, Paul? If you have to take a step back to catch the ball, let the ball go. What are you catching the ball on the 5-yard line for?
Well, the rule of thumb with every punt returner is if the ball's going to be at around the 10, you're supposed to let it go. That is correct. That is the rule of thumb. However, this is the preseason, and guys are trying to make plays because they want to show the coach that they can do something above and beyond the call of duty.
Though, we did ask Coach a couple days ago whether or not he wants guys to break protocol in that regard. He told us flat no.
But the instincts are, I want to show something to the coach. And that's one thing that's going to happen sometimes.
Well, hopefully it's only sometimes, Paul.
Well, in a regular season game, if a player did that, I guarantee you coach is reaming him out. I guarantee you that.
And he's probably not going back there on the next punt return.
One other.
We took a delay of game penalty maybe halfway through the second quarter.
Yeah.
Not on a long pass down the field, which, you know, often happens. The referees, you know, wind the clock right away. You're way down the field. Somebody's trying to get off the field. You get another guy. I mean, this was a swing pass. I mean, come on. Get back in the huddle. Get a play called. Get to the line of scrimmage and snap the ball. I mean, delay a game on a swing pass. Come on. Again, I know it's preseason. Everybody's feeling their way. But, hey, let's not get into the season and have those kinds of things happening. All right. Look, I know I sounded a little frustrated, a little chippy this morning, and I never like to lose to the Jets, even if it's in a – you know, amateur basketball game. I don't want to lose to the Jets anytime. So I'm, you know, feeling that way today. But I still think 11 wins. Hey, you guys have a good day. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Len. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. And Len brought up, and I'll transition now. We talked a little bit about the defense with the safeties, and I agree with you guys. I think Antrel Roll is the guy to take that deep safety spot. Monday can play more of that strong safety role. But to me, the bigger concern for this Giants team, and I've used this analogy a lot this offseason, but I think it's very appropriate now. If you came down in a spaceship and all you had to go on...
Some people think I have.
Well, I think you might have. And all you have to go on this Giants team is what you've seen in practice and what you've seen in games this summer. You would think they have one of the worst offenses in football. And that, to me, is a reason the Giants should start worrying. The defense has dominated them in practice. They haven't been able to score at all in these preseason games. Two of their three touchdowns come on big plays, one from David Wilson, one from Victor Cruz. They can't sustain drives. Quite frankly, Eli has not looked accurate. He has not looked great. And now look, can they easily turn this around in week one and everyone will forget all this ever happened? Sure. Is there a decent chance that happens? I think there is. But the offense, to me, does not look ready for regular season game number one.
I think there's a lot of red flags, 0 for 8 in the red zone, and I know, granted, they don't game plan a lot in the preseason, Paul, but the fact that they're not executing at least somewhat at a high level is somewhat concerning, and also, I'm seeing what I saw last season at times. They were a very up-and-down offense. 1 week, one play great, then the stretch of 5 or 6 plays where they fall off the face of the earth, and we're seeing that. We have a David Wilson 21-yard run, for example, in the Colts game, and then the offense disappears. We have an 84-yard run by David Wilson this week, and then we have multiple 3-and-out or multiple drives where maybe they get a first down or two. And also at times, it seems as if Eli Manning and Akiem Nicks just are not on the same page. Now, partially maybe that's because Victor Cruz is not on the field. And we're seeing a repeat of last year. Victor Cruz did not have Akiem Nicks. So Akiem Nicks was not drawing attention. Victor Cruz was seeing a lot of double teams. Nicks is getting a lot of attention in the preseason because Victor Cruz is not there to draw attention away from him. But right now, they've got multiple things across the board that they need to improve on.
Well, let's go to the heart of the problem. And right now, after what I saw the other night against the Jets game, they've got some questions to answer along that offensive line.
Pass rush up the middle killed them in that game.
Jim Cordell had a very difficult night after playing well the previous weekend against the Colts. And that's got to give Tom Coughlin cause for concern. He himself, when asked by Carl Banks the other day, do you feel okay about Cordell opening against the Cowboys in a couple of weeks? If that's got to be the case, we don't know about David Boss. And Tom said he's going to get the opportunity to prove that he can do that. Let's see what happens. Well, Jim Cordell didn't do so well against the Jets. I think that's very fair to say. Quite frankly, Chris Snee's got a lot of rust on him right now. He hasn't taken a whole lot of snaps. And he had Cordell on one side, Pugh on the other side. He was so busy trying to help these guys. I'll be honest, he got rather sloppy the other night against the Jets, too. That's not good. So now, Coughlin's got one more game against the Patriots coming up on Thursday to figure out, does he leave the configuration as it is up front, or does he go back to Kevin Booth and say, look, We've won games in a regular season with Kevin Booth as the center before. Maybe he needs to go back there, and maybe we need to throw somebody else in at guard. Could it be Cordell? Could it be Mosley?
Brewer?
Could it be Brewer? You know, does he screw with the configuration one more time, or does he give Cordell and these guys another chance? I don't know, John.
I buy that point, Paul, but here's my concern. They've played so much musical chairs right now. If you play musical chairs again a week leading up to the first game of the regular season, you need still time to build continuity on that O-line, even if you're bringing Booth back to
center. I understand that, and that's why this is a very difficult dilemma for the coach, because what he saw out of Cordell against the Jets is not going to cut it against Dallas.
To me, what the Giants do in their preseason game on Thursday has to be what they do in the regular season opener. I don't want to see another switch. If you're going to make a switch, I think you make it today, you make it tomorrow at practice.
That's
but
why I
think
ask
you. Wait much longer than that. I really don't.
I agree.
And by the way, one other thing, too, just want to look at the first half stats, because that's when the Giants starters were in the game against the Jets' first team defense. 105 rushing yards, but 84 of those came on the one run. So if you take that 184-yard run away, the Giants rushed 10 times for 19 yards. And that includes a 10-yard run by Andre Brown. So that's a pretty brutal number. And then in terms of the passing game, Lance, we'll get back to the running in a second. Eli, 8 of 20, 83 yards, targeted Akeem Nicks, and this is to your point earlier, targeted Akeem Nicks in the first half 6 times, 1 reception.
Well, Hakeem Nicks does not look like he's 100% yet to me, John. I think you would agree with me. We've watched him in practice every day. He might be 85, 90. He's not burning it out yet.
Is he ever going to get there?
I don't know. But let's watch him against Dallas in a few weeks before we make that decision. Because right now, mentally, he may also be a little bit on the holdback mode.
And Nicks, as much as anybody, is a guy in the team that I would consider a gamer, where when the game time comes and it's the real time to play, that's when he's going to play his best football.
Well, here's another thing just to add to the concerns about the lack of production from Akeem Nicks. And, John, you threw this out on the postgame show on Saturday. And, Paul, I'm curious your thoughts. The tight ends, where are they? Because we're still searching for them. That's an important facet of this offense, Paul. No Brandon Myers. Adrian Robinson has looked good in practice. We have not seen that translate in game situations.
Well, I'm not so much concerned about their lack of stats right now because, again, I think with this whole game plan thing, I think they're hiding a lot of stuff. I really do. But here's what would bother me about the tight ends. Have you watched these guys block? Have you watched these guys block? Get out your microscope.
I've watched them try to block.
They do try.
But try can only go so far.
No, look, the effort is there. And you know, Coach has said from the start of training camp, all jokes aside, that Brandon Myers is putting all the work in. He's doing his best to become a better blocker. But he just doesn't have the size and the physicality to be a dominating blocker near the line of scrimmage. And for all of Adrian Robinson's size and his athleticism and stuff like that, remember, when he played at Cincinnati, he never played on the line of scrimmage as an on-the-line blocker. And I think we're still seeing some of that rawness show up on the field a bit.
There are two things that I want to say here before we get back to the calls, John, that may help this situation out. First of all, they don't have a true fullback right now, and Henry Hanoski's return, whenever that is going to be, will absolutely help out this running game some.
And frankly,
because he's a pretty good fullback.
And also, Bear's probably the best blocking tight end. You move him back
Bingo.
To that spot.
That's the second part of what I'm trying to say, because Pasco is not a very good on-the-move H-back blocking tight end, but he's a very good blocker on the line.
Right.
So right now they're not playing to his strengths and they're not playing to the running game strengths without a true fullback.
So does that mean, though, that we're going to see a lot of double tight end formations? Because in order to keep Brandon Myers on the football field, if you need Bear Pasco to block, you're going to have two tight ends out there.
And then no Reuben Randall.
Correct.
Well, I think what's going to happen is you'll see some one back. When you go two tight ends, you'll go one back. Instead of having Hanoski in there, you might have Pasco on the line with maybe Robinson as the H-back if they feel they want to go with him. You know, there are some configurations they can use, but without a true fullback right now, they are definitely hamstrung a little bit.
I do agree with Lance. I would have liked to see a little bit more from Brandon Myers, not only in games, but in practice this year catching the football. He has not been as active in the passing game as I would have thought he was. I figured he'd be a favorite target of Eli Manning by now. I don't think we've seen that connection take place yet.
Not as much as I would have liked.
201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Let's go to Charlie up in Portland, Maine. Charlie, good morning.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Doing great, Charlie. Thanks for holding. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Yeah, just a couple things. I think Paul is right on, probably for the first time. No, I'm just kidding. But, just about Kenny Phillips. It is a quad. That's what it was about. And I think you bring the guy in, he knows the system. He's also got chemistry with Roll. He's got chemistry with, you know, the backfield. I think it would be stupid not to at least bring him in and see, you know. Because if he can even just give us four games until Will Hill comes back, or, I mean, Cooper to me is, you know, once you have a hamstring, you know, who knows what's going to happen with that. He could tweak that and just, you know, walking into the clubhouse. So I wouldn't count on him. Plus, he's a rookie. So Phillips, I think, would be great to bring him in and just, you know, see what happens from there. And the tight ends, well, the guys put themselves in this position. If it doesn't work out, they could have kept Bennett. They didn't want to. So this is what you get. So, and the other thing with the Giants offense, remember, you don't have the Cruz out there. So they're not going to look that great. Just like when Nix was out or half injured, they didn't look that great. You got to have both those guys playing. And when they, when Cruz comes back, then you're going to see the Giants offense perk up a lot. So that's basically it. And the other thing, Curry, he seemed to be the only, like, big hit linebacker we had. You know, he made some big plays, you know, in preseason, just, you know, some big hits. I mean, I think he's more of a middle linebacker. Maybe he can't cover anybody, but I thought he was the most physical linebacker we had.
Detroit, but, I thought just in terms of his frame and being imposing, I thought he was the most physical guy. The problem, when you get that, he's also the guy that I thought had trouble moving from sideline to sideline the most, too. Didn't have a whole lot of speed on him. And quite frankly, we saw it in the second preseason game especially. Some guys just don't have great football instincts. And I don't think Aaron Curry had great football instincts as a player. I mean, you saw the play on that bootleg where they run that naked boot on the play action. He's running the wrong direction right past the quarterback. I mean, and that stuff that it's hard to teach. A guy either has it or they don't. Charlie, thanks for the call, man.
And
okay.
One other thing I wanted to point out that Charlie had said, or at least piggyback off of it, he mentioned that the Giants put themselves in this position regarding the tight end spot by not re-signing Martellus Bennett. Let's not forget, Martellus Bennett got a lot of money from the Chicago Bears. Got a four-year deal worth well over $20 million.
Yeah.
And I think the Giants did not feel that they wanted to invest that type of money considering they had other needs outside of tight end heading into this offseason. So you have to take that into consideration. Plus, Martellus Bennett had, maybe you can argue, his breakout campaign last year. Prior to that, he was backing up Jason Witten. So there wasn't a huge resume that the Giants could go by to justify giving him over $5 million a season.
Very fair. Very fair. But I want to throw a bouquet of flowers over here to John, because he told me from the beginning that Curry wasn't going to make this team. And he showed some sparks for me early on. And I thought that, quite frankly, he should have been in competition at middle linebacker because of his lack of mobility. I thought he could be a two-down run stuffer in the middle because of his size and strength. I never understood why, after Tom Coughlin said the day they signed him, that he might be inside, he might be outside. Why they never tried him in the middle, I do not understand. But they didn't. Having said that, he did not show nearly enough. And Kyle Bosworth, who John did say, from the beginning.
You know how many times he's going to pat himself on the back?
Well, no.
We're only a half hour into this program,
he
Paul.
He gets
thanks.
One right
really
a year. I got to give him some flowers for it.
That's true.
But Bosworth, who was extremely active, is a classic example of a guy who made the most of his opportunities and earned the coach's trust, because he played like a house of fire. And in week 3 against the Jets, it was never more apparent that he was the better guy to keep.
Look at that grin on his face. He is itching to just jump on this mic right now.
Hey, you guys just happy I didn't leave the show with it. Let's be honest. And the Giants did make their cuts, by the way. We were going to get to that. I figured we'd touch on the game stuff and injuries first. But now that the caller brought up very quickly, no big surprise on the Giants' cut list. I had printed it out, but then I left it in the other room, which probably wasn't the smartest thing on my part. But Aaron Curry, the biggest name. Another name I thought was interesting they let go was Frank Okum, who I thought actually looked pretty good in practice and in games over the course of the preseason. Simply just too much depth, though, at that defensive position to hold on to him. They let go two of their tight ends, Jamie Childers and Chase Clement. Michael Jasper, the 380-pound monster at guard, they let him go. Austin Holtz, who they just picked up last week for depth, they released him. Jake Moisau and Etienne Sabino, two of their younger linebackers, they let go. Sabino, I think some people thought might be a practice squad candidate when this whole process started, considering he was a pretty highly touted player at Ohio State. And then defensive backs, LaRon Scott, who, by the way, looked like seriously pulled his hamstring in overtime in that preseason game. One of the reasons you don't want to play overtime sometimes because you might get some injuries. Junior Myrtle, who had some pretty good moments during training camp, was let go. But again, that shows what they think of Tremaine McBride, who's done well, and Charles James, who's still on the roster as well. Paul, you can pat yourself on the back for that one.
Oh, and you didn't make it yet, John.
And then Alonzo Tweedy, the safety, let go as well. Brandon Collins, by the way, who we thought they might store because of that suspension as a receiver, they let him go. I think Julian Talley's play, which they've been pretty impressed with, might have something to do with that, to be honest with
you. Collins had a bad drop, by the way, late in that contest.
Yeah, coach was not pleased about that one either. You saw him on the sideline?
Oh, no.
Not happy. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name. I tried to do it last night about three times. Couldn't do it. The Giants' new fullback, Paul, can you handle that one?
Oh, golly. No.
Lance, you got anything?
I'm not even going to attempt. I don't want to embarrass myself.
And it's funny. I was talking to people around here the last couple of days to try to figure that out, and nobody really had a good way to pronounce the last name.
And, you know, actually, that was a pretty good sign to me that he wasn't going to last, because I asked four different people on the staff as to exactly how do you want to say this guy's name, and nobody could give me a definitive answer.
I figured his
name is probably Sia.
Just call him Ben. I think that's the easiest way to go.
Ben, fullback Ben.
Fullback Ben.
201-939-4513. And also, real quick on Charlie, I think Kenny Phillips, you can bring him in, look at him, see if he's healthy, because you know he has the physical ability to be that deep safety to help the Giants out. If he can do it, roll the dice. I think he's better than some of the guys you have. So 201-939-4513. Andrew Jr. and Sr. is in New Jersey.
Wow.
Andrew, how are you?
Phil Sims, his kid, came back to haunt us. And also with Curry, maybe if he would have picked that pass off that Sims completed the touchdown, it was like Sims to Bavaro, Sims to Spagana, to Dottino. But Curry missed that interception, too, that pass. But I always thought the same thing that Paul said. Curry looked like he would be a good middle linebacker, a run stopper, and even a fullback. Like he looked like a fullback. But I wanted to ask you guys, I really like the terrain, the running back, and he looks like a Steven Davis type, like he could move the pile. And
I like that comparison, actually. That's not bad.
Maybe a little bit slower. And one play, he was in open space, and he looked confused, like, he didn't have anyone to hit.
You're right about that.
But I'll put my dad on, but I wanted to ask you guys to predict your practice squad. But, guys, and here's my dad.
Okay, thanks, Andrew. I think it's a little early for me for the practice squad. I'll give you a couple names I think could be there. I think I think he might have to be a practice squad guy. I think you're looking – oh, boy – I think they might have to try to sneak Charles James onto the practice squad. It might be tough to get him onto the active roster because I think Tremaine McBride will make the active roster. Who else could they sneak on that practice squad? There's really no one on the defensive line. I don't think Justin Trouteau is eligible. If he is, I think he's a pretty good candidate for it.
I think he
played too many regular season games.
I think
games.
A Jomo might be. Might be. He was inactive last year.
It's six regular season games. I'm not sure if he was active for six.
I don't think
year.
He was.
What about Julian Talley, maybe?
Yeah, that's a possibility.
No question. Him on the practice
squad? They will definitely
squad.
Try to get one wide receiver onto that practice
squad. And now
squad.
That Collins is not in the mix anymore, Talley, to me, would be the next man up.
Talley's a they also like Kevin Hardy.
That's true.
Kevin but I think Hardy could be the practice squad. Yeah.
Hardy's still in competition even for that fifth wide receiver spot.
I think Jarrell Jurgen helped himself a lot in that game. He had a couple of drops, but I think he played fairly well. Andrew Sr., what's going on? What's
how
on
about
your
on a practice squad, how about a spot for somebody to pick up from another team?
Well, that could happen too. I mean, don't ever forget, there's always the possibility that on the 31st of August, when everybody gets down to 53, there's somebody sitting out there who the Giants have an eye on. It could absolutely could happen.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Hold on.
guys. Shakes. Sorry, Shakes. I know Shakes is drinking right now because of the Aaron Curry relief.
Oh, yeah. Andrew, we got to send out a rescue mission for him.
Thanks, hey, Andrew. Appreciate the call.
You know,
buddy.
I'll give you one other guy, John and Lance, who there's a lot of directions they can go with Cooper Taylor. You mentioned him before. Now, this is a guy who can't get on the field because of a hamstring issue. Now, they got a bunch of ways they could go with him. They could keep him on the 53. They could IR him and just say, look, this hamstring thing is just not enough. We haven't seen enough. IR him for the year and let him redshirt. They could do that.
Pull the old Victor Cruz from 2010.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or, quite frankly, the other thing is there's always the possibility that he was a fifth-round pick. Teams stayed away from him primarily because of the heart thing. They could take a chance,
that's
which a chance. I don't think would work. but they could try to waive him and sneak him onto the practice squad. Now, again, I don't think I'd go that way, but is that an option? It is an option. Probably the least attractive one, but possible.
Here's the problem. I think IR is a legit possibility only because of that Stevie Brown injury where you can't afford to keep another safety that might not be able to, A, contribute right away, and even when he does get healthy from the hamstring, because he's such a low-round pick from a small school, how much can he really help you this year? I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I think he still needs to digest the system, but remember, you also can IR a player and designate them to return, so he could be one of those players that you toy with, perhaps.
You know, you really want to save that one, though, for a guy who you really believe is going to give you valuable snaps in the second half of the season.
Like,
and
I
don't
David
know, based,
Deal, maybe?
That's exactly what I was just going to say, John. I don't know if you could put Taylor in that category.
Right.
David Deal just might be that guy.
Well, how about this?
That's a good point.
You know, one of the rookies that's missed even more time than Cooper Taylor is DeMontre Moore. What do you do with him?
Oh, he's on the 53.
When is he ever going to be ready to play?
But I don't think he's going to miss six games, John.
No. I wouldn't think so either, but nobody thought he'd miss 3 weeks of practice either.
And you don't need to use it on JPP because he's probably going to start on PUP if he can't get back. DeMontre Moore, I would assume, though, he's going to get back in the mix.
I would hope. I mean, all it is a shoulder contusion, but he's missed almost 2 weeks now. And Coach, by the way, made the point to us that the feeling is that, and he's had good days and he's had bad days, but they don't think they'll have to PUP JPP for to start
right,
the season. That's
right.
That's the thought right now. Who knows what happens with injuries? Whether he's ready for week one, that's a different question. But the PUP thing, I think that's unlikely at this point.
My spidey sense is telling me he might miss a game or two, but that's it.
And in that case, he's such a valuable player. You don't want to put him on that PUP.
Right.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Steve in Washington, D.C. Steve, good morning.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
How are you?
I tell you, it's a rough one. That's all I'm going to start by saying that. I hope Shakes is okay wherever he is. And let me just say, I do agree with Paul. I thought Aaron Curry would have been best served in the middle position. But I have so much to say, and you know, I'm trying not to ramble on and on because I actually want to hear what you guys have to say about what I said. But let me just start with the defense, guys. I personally don't think we need to be, you know, freak out too much about the safety position. I don't think we need to bring Kenny Fells back either. I know we're going to be missing Will Hill the first four games, but I think that, you know, the secondary is really not that big of an issue as far as I'm concerned at this point. I think, you know, if we need to, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Cooper, but I thought we had some safeties. Perhaps we could even move, you know, Ross or even Terrell there if need be. But I just don't really think it's that pressing now. But, you know, other than the linebackers, I think we should just completely just scrap and start all over. You know, I'm really curious to hear what you guys have to say about, do you think Hurts did and what he did at the end of the game? Did he do enough to be kind of, I should not. You know, I want to see Hurts, you know, beat out Connor because I'm just really not sold on Connor at all. I just don't think he does enough of anything to make anybody impressed. But with that said, I'm going to skip right over to the offense, and I'm actually going to listen, guys. I'm just very upset. I'm just going to say we have no tempo at all. We never have. We're always looking for the kill shot, and it shouldn't be a surprise that we're not having success. I don't think it's all about Hakeem. Clearly, he's not healthy. I know he's not healthy from day one. He's just not healthy. But the bigger problem is Eli. You know, Eli's not playing well. And that's the common factor from last year's problems to this year. And I know we can all say, well, we're missing offensive plays, but that and the play calling, guys. So, my question today would be this. Who do you think, number one, may possibly, you know, be out there as far as a free agent linebacker? And what do you guys think our biggest problem is offensively?
All right, Steve, thanks for the call, pal.
You want the offense?
Offensively, you could start on defense if you want.
All right, well, defensively, all you need to know about the guys who are on the street at linebacker is that the Giants signed Connor and then they signed Curry. That kind of tells you the dearth of available people on the street. Will someone pop free in the next week? Maybe.
Connor, I thought, was pretty decent against the run the last couple of games.
Connor's actually performed well enough that I think he's the starter.
Right.
But my point is, this guy's saying you're looking for an upgrade over any of these guys. You're not going to find one.
Well, you'd hope a team cuts somebody for a salary in real music. Maybe that could help.
Yeah, I don't think that's likely at this point, though.
I don't think there's going to be a big game changer out there.
No.
When the 53-man roster. And somebody also who would have to at first learn the Giants system. Just because it's a big-name player doesn't mean you just shuffle them in and all of a sudden they're going to be a difference maker here. That you have to take into consideration as well.
Totally agree.
As far as the offense is concerned, I think it goes back to what Paul touched on earlier, the offensive line. I think the game of musical chairs needs to still play out. Right now, they're not running the ball that effectively, so that probably would take more precedence over the fact that they haven't had much consistency in the passing game. I think as long as Eli Manning has some time to throw the football, they should be able to shore up some of their issues in the passing game. Plus, once Victor Cruz comes back, that should help their cause as well. To me, the most troubling aspect right now is the inconsistency of a running game. You have one or two big plays from David Wilson, and then everything disappears. John threw out some of the numbers earlier. I'll look at it from a bigger perspective. Outside of that David Wilson one run for 84 yards, there were 22 other carries for 55 total yards. You do the math there. You're talking about less than 3 yards per carry from what the rest of the team provided outside that big David Wilson
run.
Well,
I think that goes back to what Paul brought up is the thing that he's focusing on, and that's offensive line play with the injuries to Deal and Pugh at right tackle, Cordell at center, and if you look at the weaknesses in those two guys' games, they're not power players. So you got one guy on the right side that's not a power player. No one ever accused Will Beattie of being a power player. Then your center's not a power player. How are you getting pushed at the line of scrimmage? I mean, you can do all the perfect technique stuff as you can, wall stuff off, block people out, seal edges and all that stuff. If you're not pushing people back, it's tough to be consistent in the running game.
And here was the other troubling aspect. They couldn't even get the screen plays right, to me, in this last game against the Jets. They had some trouble dumping it off to the running backs.
They haven't gotten screen plays right in about 10 years, lads.
But there was one decent one against the Colts, so maybe that opened the door for some promise.
I hate to repeat it here, but again, the value of Henry Hanoski to this offense is becoming more and more apparent every week that they have to play without him. And quite honestly, if I could also add one more nugget about Pugh, he actually played well.
No, he did.
I graded him out with a plus game the other night. And I thought he did pretty well, too, in his cameos, a couple dozen snaps against the Colts as well the week before. I think he's doing okay. But are you right about him not being a power player? That's true, John. But you know what? He's a rookie.
Oh, yeah,
rookies
no question
need to
about
physically
it.
Mature, too. He
no
may
question.
In time become one. But right now, he's not there yet.
Yeah, that
he's
was
a kid.
Yeah, that wasn't a criticism as to him not being a good enough player. That's something he has to develop into. And the
no
Giants
doubt.
Said that when they drafted him, that
absolutely.
He had to put some weight on and become that type of player.
Right.
But when you're asking guy to start right away, all of a sudden you start getting greedy and you want everything.
Well, it's reality.
Right.
It's reality.
201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Our good buddy Jeff is up in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's going on, pal?
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I'm doing a lot better than the Giants' offenses. But, yeah, I think a couple of comments. I thought Kyle Bosworth played with some fire in his belly the other night, which was nice to see. And it seems as if he's going to make the team, so that's okay. But the bigger issue with me is not really being concerned that much with the defense. I mean, it all begins, as we all know, it all begins and ends with the offensive line play. For many years, the Giants have just, blown off drafting these high-round offensive linemen, you know, these real blue-chip guys. You know, they've neglected to do that in the draft, and it always seems to come back to bite them at some time, you know. That, to me, that's the bigger issue right there is the offensive line. You know, just three or four weeks ago, we were talking about, somebody called in and said, oh, yeah, our offense is going to score six touchdowns a game, blah, 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 blah. We got so many weapons. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But if you don't have a good offensive line, it's not happening.
You know,
period.
Just to be fair, Beattie was a number two. Snee was a number two. Pugh was a number one. So it's not like they've done nothing.
But I will say this, though.
It happens sporadically, okay? I mean,
right.
Many, many times I've said we need road graders.
Well, you know how I feel about
road
that. I prefer a big, powerful, punch-him-in-the-nose offensive line, too, but that's not the way this team is constructed.
All right, Jeff, thanks for the call, my man.
Okay.
Take it easy. And I think it's funny, the Giants, when they had their best offensive line in 2008, they actually constructed that line without having to use high draft picks on offensive linemen. David Deal, fifth-round pick, or was he a four? Yeah.
No, he was a
five, right? Sean O'Hara, undrafted guy they got from a seventh-round draft in Cleveland,
came
right?
Came from Cleveland.
Right, he was a veteran free agent. Round
pick. But was he a six or seventh-round
pick?
Oh, I
think he was a six.
Six, right?
May have been a seven. I think he was a six, but he was a veteran free agent who they bought.
Correct.
Like David Boss.
And also like Kareem McKenzie, who didn't have to use a high draft pick on.
They
so the Giants had maybe their best offensive line. You could make the argument 2008, maybe their best offensive line in franchise
Richie
history.
Richie Soibert, undrafted, street free agent
exactly.
as a rookie.
O'Hara was undrafted, by the way.
Undrafted. He was undrafted. Okay. The only guy you had was Chris Snee, who was a second-round pick. So, you know, you can put an offensive line together without using high picks.
It
but
can be done.
It takes a lot of skill, and frankly, it takes a lot of luck, too. You don't know what these guys are going to be when you draft them. So, now they are investing a little bit. Paul mentioned Beattie at left tackle, second-round pick, Snee's a two. And now they drafted Justin Pugh this year as a one. So they certainly have invested in that position now.
The other thing I was going to throw out in relation to your point, John, and Paul, maybe you can build off of this, all of those players also had a lot of experience playing with one another by the time they had that good campaign in the 2008, for example.
That's a great point.
Now you're talking about a lot of players that are being thrown in the mix and next to one another for the very first time.
It has been a very, very difficult job that Coach Flaherty has had to entertain these last couple of years. And yet, you know, they were still able to win the Super Bowl 2 years ago, realizing that, hey, Boss was off again, on again with his injuries. Richie was playing hurt. Snee was playing hurt. You know, Beattie had the retina surgery. And it's like, to this day, I'm not sure how that offensive line was able to come together and win the Super Bowl. I'm still not sure how they do it. That was maybe the best coaching job of an offensive line coach I've ever seen.
Well, no one doubts the ability of Coach Pat Flaherty to put this group together. He is one of the best offensive line coaches in the league.
He'd be the best.
Here's my other concern about the offensive line that not a lot of people have been focusing on. Last year they had Sean Locklear, who was a great swing tackle. To me, they're lacking. If you now bring all of these other pieces into your starting group, who do you have now as a depth guy that you can turn to in the mold of a Sean
Locklear? Lance, this is the point I made, and Paul's having a nervous spasm.
Clearly
because
he is.
He's just thinking about it. To me, the most valuable player on this team now, aside from Eli Manning, is Will Beattie. If there's one player that I say the Giants cannot lose due to injury right now, it's Will Beattie. Because the second you lose Will Beattie, you move Pugh to left tackle. Who knows who's playing right tackle? Probably James Brewer. And then all of a sudden, Eli Manning by week three is, you know, got limbs hanging by a thread.
Scary thought.
So, really, Will Beattie might be one of the most valuable guys on this roster right now.
I would maintain to you that if I had to go to Las Vegas and make a bet as to what position would the Giants most likely be looking at when the final cuts to 53 come, it would be a veteran tackle.
Yep, I
think
that's fair.
Because they need right now a third tackle that they can count on who's got some experience, who's got some strength, and who's got some ability. Now, John, I'll be honest. Those things don't come very often at the 53 cut.
They do not.
It's very hard to find one. But if they can find somebody who pops free, that's the guy they're going to look at. Because
I think a veteran guard is a possibility too, Paul, because then you can move Booth back at center. If they don't think that starting guard is on the roster, they can find a veteran at guard, which is a little bit easier than to find a veteran at tackle. Then you could maybe more comfortably move Booth back to center as well. I think they'll be on the lookout for both, a tackle and a guard.
More so a tackle, though, because they at least have Brandon Mosley, who they like a lot at guard. Now, he's been a bit inconsistent during the preseason.
This is also basically his rookie year. That's
right.
To be expected.
Right. But at least they think they got somebody there. Right. They also have Eric Kerman, who, as you said, you know, he may be a practice squad candidate. He hasn't exactly, you know, blown things up here during his preseason time. But the tackle thing is critical because right now, as you say, Pugh would have to go to left, Brewer would have to go to right, and Eli Manning's running for his life. They need a Sean Locklear type. And by the way, Sean Locklear.
Is he out there? Is he healthy?
He's on the street. What I don't know is after his leg broke in, what, two or three places?
It was a disastrous leg.
It was horrible. I don't know where he stands physically, but I wouldn't mind putting a phone call into him right now and saying, Sean, could you want to come in for a physical? Because if you can pass
good
a
point.
Physical, he might not be a bad guy.
201-939-4513. The phones are still clogged. We're going to try to go through you guys real quick in the next 10 or 15 minutes before we wrap up this show. Let's go to Antoine down in Atlanta, Georgia. Antoine, good morning.
Oh, hey. I got two questions.
Sure.
My first one is, what do you think the Giants should try to do to fix their red zone offense issues? And my second question is, with Stevie Brown's injury, who do you think should or will get the spot with Antrell Roll?
All right, Antoine, I think for at safety, you're going to see Ryan Mundy play back there with Antrell Roll, and you'll see Roll play that deep safety role like we talked about earlier in the show. In terms of the red zone, to me, the key to a good red zone offense is the power running game. If you can consistently push that linebacker and get yards inside the 10, that's the key to being a good red zone offense. It sets up the play-action pass, and it really just makes everything work.
And they couldn't do that against the Jets the other night. Yep. Andre Brown, no room up the middle. Then they threw the fade to Akeem Nicks. The ball got knocked out of his hands. Tom Coughlin was asked about this very question, and he said, listen, it's as simple as just executing. And that is a fairly simple answer, but I agree with John. You've got to be able to pound that ball in from 2 yards out. That is not asking for much. Do you want to blame it partially on the offensive line? Absolutely. But I think they have enough versatility in their backfield that they should be able to find a hole from 2 yards out and get that in. They need to have some semblance of a running game.
Right now, there's no reason for any defense to respect the Giants in the red zone. And like you say, it all starts with the power run game, which is non-existent. Guys, I want to read a tweet from Stevie Brown.
Please.
Who just sent one out a minute ago. And we all know how well he is liked and respected here. He says, where there's a will, there's a way. And I definitely have the will to be back and back better than ever. 2014 Giants. So that coming from Stevie Brown, who, you know, that torn ACL, just once again, a non-contact injury. You saw his knee go out right before he wound up getting tackled on the interception return. And when I watched the replay, you know, your heart just breaks for a guy like that.
And by the way, let me say this too. Stevie Brown, good player.
Good
great,
guy.
A lot of interceptions
really good
last
guy.
Year. Better guy.
Yeah.
One of the better guys in the team. I know he was going to work with us in the broadcasting department a lot this year and a lot of stuff after games, doing a lot of our anatomy, the play features where he breaks down the play for us on Mondays. He was really going to be a big part of what we did. Very accessible, good guy, smart football player. The story I always told in the offseason, Lance, and I've said it to you many times, where talking to David Merritt, Stevie Brown is the only guy he's ever had in his safety room go through an entire notebook and have to start a second notebook. In one season, he took so many notes in meetings last year. So it's a tough loss. I know I'm very sad about it. A lot of people around here are. He's a good story. No one works harder. He's a good guy. He shows up to all the charity stuff, shows up to all his teammates, you know, foundation outings and everything like that. Just a good dude. I'm sure the Giants will keep him around. I'm sure they'll rehab him, try to get him back for next season. But it's a shame coming off the best year of his career. And, again, a guy that's under a restricted free agent tender, he'll get that money. But he is no money guaranteed to him past this year. So everyone hopes he gets back, gets healthy, and just, you know, terrible thing. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Jason in Montana. Jason, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, the question is how long is Bond supposed to be out? When is he supposed to come back?
They hope for week one. If not week one, then hopefully soon, shortly thereafter.
Because Cordell just looks like he might be too small for a position. I mean, he was getting pushed around, and he just looks really light. Do you think it is because he might just be a smaller player that he's getting pushed around?
That's what he is. He's a smaller center in this league. He's not a boxcar. He's not a bulldozer. He's more of a finesse center. He does it with his smarts. He's a very smart guy and a very smart player.
And you can get away with it. Mark Stemnoski, he was a Pro Bowl center in this league at 285 pounds, and he pushed people around because he was so good technique-wise and he was so smart.
John, quite frankly, Sean O'Hara was a bit undersized at
center.
A
little bit,
also.
But he was a bigger guy than Cordell was.
Yes, he is,
right.
But still on the undersized category. Bottom line is, right now, the Giants need to figure it out, and they need to figure it out quickly. I'm with John on this. If they're going to move Booth back there, they better do it today.
Right.
You can't wait another week.
Well, here's another thing I want to throw into the conversation, Paul. How much do we take into consideration the Jets' different looks on defense?
Big part of it.
Because Cordell looked good against the Colts, and he had come in very early in the contest.
Okay, let me ask you something, Lance. You're the Dallas Cowboys, okay? I know you're going 4-3. I know you're going with a new defensive coordinator. I get all that. Don't you think you're going to throw the kitchen sink at Jim Cordell if he's there opening night? And you're going to do everything you can to rattle
him.
And you're going to confuse him as much as you possibly can. And if he does get confused, Eli Manning's in harm's way. Right?
Everybody's going to look to try to mimic what the Jets did.
So these are the things that Tom Coughlin has to be thinking about over the last 24 hours as he tries to determine who his starting five are going to be against Dallas.
Well, it's clicking right now.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, if you're going to do it, you better do it sooner than later.
201-939-45. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry. We lost you there. My bad, Jason. Sorry about that. I thought I already let you go. That's my bad. If you want to call back and get back on the line. 201-939-4513. A very depressed Shakes.
Wow.
Is down in Maryland. I figured Shakes would be hung over from a rough weekend because the Giants decide to let his guy go. Shakes, how are you?
Yeah, I'm going to speak on that. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. But I don't think Aaron Curry.
No, probably not.
I think that man's career is over, man. That's sad. All right. I'm going to just skip past that. That's a wrap. The Shakes and Aaron Curry saga is over.
Wow, you dropped him like a hot potato.
Off the bandwagon.
I mean, the Giants dropped him like a hot potato. I didn't have no say. But,
oh, boy.
All right, Shakes, what else you got, bud?
All right, disappointing thing. And very worrisome is why can't we score touchdowns? We score a touchdown because Wilson had to break out for an 84-yarder. That's disappointing to me. Not the 84-yarder. That's great. But the fact that we can't score besides that, that is terrible. Another thing is this injury bug kills us every year. Every year. Can we change the grass? Because obviously this turf is killing us.
Actually, no, Shakes, the funny thing is they actually did change the turf this year. It's new brand. It's a new type of turf. It's brand new. That was only, I think, the second or third game they've actually played on it. So they have changed the turf. And it's funny, we were joking about this. The last two or three years, every offseason, DBs are dropping like flies. And this was the first year where the team got through training camp almost completely unscathed at cornerback. And what happens in the third preseason game? Hosley, ankle, Brown, knee, Scott, hamstring. Bam, bam, bam. Rapid fire. It's like they were making up for lost time.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I want to say three more things.
Quick.
I wanted to say J.J., Jarrell Jernigan, he stepped up. He should be making a team. Barton should be gone. Charles James needs to step up. Mike Patterson is a beast. And last thing is I want KP back, Kenny Phillips. It's healthy, and I want Josh Cribbs. All right, I'm out.
All right, thanks, Shakes. Appreciate it. Josh Cribbs got let go by the Raiders over the weekend, and the Giants, I guess, looking for a full-time kick returner still. But Michael Cox, I think, has done pretty darn good job, and I think they'd like for him to have it. I don't think Josh Cribbs is the guy that'll come here. You guys are touching that too, but I'm happy you brought up Mike Patterson. I don't know if he can cut this guy. He's in there against the twos and threes, and he looks unstoppable. I'm not saying he's a Pro Bowl caliber player, but I was talking to Sean O'Hara, who does did our TV show during the week last week, and he told me when they were here, and O'Hara was an offensive lineman, they would routinely put Mike Patterson's name on their Pro Bowl ballot. That's how much trouble he gave them as a defensive tackle. So I think they'll be hard-pressed to let Mike Patterson go. He's just too good.
Marvin Austin was decent, too, in this last game. He showed
he
some
okay.
fight,
it's the
and
best
he's fighting
looks
for
since he got here, by the way.
Yeah.
They got to make some tough decisions at defensive tackle. Tough decisions.
And Marcus Kuhn looks as though he's ready to come off a PUP. He's doing really, really well with the trainers.
But
he
they're
going to
leave him there.
He's extremely optimistic, but they got a roster jam here. And, you know, if there's any hope of keeping that extra DT, Kuhn's got to go to PUP. And that's a shame because it looks like he's getting really close to being ready. I do want to mention one other thing, though, about that run with Wilson. You know, guys, yes, it's typical of the Giants' troubles in that they get the big play and then they can't do anything else with it. But did you watch that replay again at full speed? I got to tell you something. David Wilson had jaw-dropping acceleration on that play.
Zero to 30 or whatever he does in about a half a second.
And it was he exploded through the first level, okay, then kicked it up through the second level to the linebackers. And then the secondary tried to chase him, and not only did he kick it into another gear, he actually created more separation on the last 20 yards of the play. That is incredible.
He's a big play guy. Giants are excited about it.
We knew he was explosive. That's no secret. Real quickly about the kick returner, you mentioned Josh Cribbs let go by the Raiders. Jayron Hosley, to me, I think has shown some explosiveness in terms of his ability to return punts.
No question.
Now, though, here's the curveball. He's got an ankle injury. You just lost Stevie Brown. Can you afford to leave him with respect to special teams? I think not. So you may be forced to have to weigh your options in bringing in another guy whose routine is specifically tied to special teams.
You know what
the
shame of it is? I had said a couple of weeks ago, I'd like Cox to be the kickoff return guy. They tried him. It's working out. I'm thrilled. But I still don't know who the punt return guy is because I wanted Hosley to be that guy or Aaron Ross. But
right now you need them in the secondary.
You can't do it.
You can't risk injury.
I think if Hosley's healthy, I think you could put him there. You still have Terrell Thomas and Aaron Ross at corner. I think you could be okay.
Can we see him practice off of that sprained ankle
first? I think that's a fair point. I said if he's healthy, and I'm not sure if he is.
And we don't have a whole lot of time to make that decision.
That's correct. 201-939-4513. Now, we heard from Ann in Washington, D.C. last week. I'm hoping she's, relaxed a little bit since then. She was very upset last week, Ann. Ann, are you doing a little bit better this week, or are you still a little upset?
Actually, I'm that upset, and this will be the last time I'm calling because I'm at work and my supervisor isn't here.
Okay.
I'm going to make it quick.
Okay.
I thought guys were supposed to know more about football than women, first of all. That's one thing. And I'm only going to say one thing.
I'm not sure what that means, Ann.
You all are toting the corporate line, okay?
What corporate line is that, Ann?
The corporate line is protect Tom Coughlin and Kevin Gilbride.
Tom Coughlin and Kevin Gilbride don't need me to protect them, considering their track record.
Let me finish.
Go ahead.
My prediction, because I won't call back again.
Okay.
Because I have to work. I am an accountant.
Very good.
Okay. So my prediction for the season is a 6-10 record. Coughlin is going to take this team the same way he took Jacksonville. He ended there 4-12. Secondly, if this is supposed to be a team sport, why is it that the only plays are going to Nick's Randall, Jernigan? I don't see the Titans even getting any action, considering that every other team incorporates a tight end except for the New York Giants. And the last but not least, and I told you before, I do not like Kevin Gilbride. He's trying to recreate something from 1970-something, 73 or whatever. This is 2013. Put a tight end in the game. If that ball would have went to Brandon Myers instead of putting the ball, running it, I think they put in, what's his name, Hakeem Nicks. Hakeem Nicks looks washed up to me. He doesn't have the speed. It was obvious the ball was going to go to him, and then Eli Manning threw a fade for him, and then he missed it. All they had to do was get a ball to Brandon Myers, a tight end. And until the Giants do that, I'm picking 6-10 for them.
All right, Ann, thank you very much for the call.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You have a good one. Now, Ann was relatively calmer than she was last week, I will say that. And
slightly.
But see, me and Lance knew what to expect here. But I can hear Paul's heavy breathing over the microphone. And I'll just let you go. Go ahead, Paul. Tote that corporate line, Paul DeTito.
If the Giants finish 6-10, it's going to be because the offensive line crumbles like we have discussed. It will be because the linebackers didn't do a good enough job. It will be because the secondary is so banged up that they couldn't get the job done. It will not be because Tom Coughlin and Kevin Gilbride could not coach this team properly. I mean, could they go 6-10? Absolutely, it's possible.
It's the NFL. Anything could happen.
You know, Niagara Falls could just come down on this club, and they could fall apart and everything could go bad. Sure, that could happen. It will not be at the feet of Tom Coughlin and Kevin Gilbride, though. I could not disagree with her problems more.
And that was the point, Lance, that I made last week with Ann Coltz. She's very down on Gilbride and Coughlin. And, the funny thing about it, she says she's an accountant. Just look at the numbers.
Well, Ann, I invite you to go to the jewelry store and see if you can find yourself a few Super Bowl rings like those.
See, now Paul's very upset. I would just say go to the numbers. Look where the offense has been ranked over the last 10 years. It's been fantastic. Look at the win-loss record from Tom Coughlin with the Giants, and even go back to Jacksonville. He brought an expansion team all the way to 14-2 in just a few years, the AFC Championship game. The numbers are there.
And by the way, didn't you just remind us all within the last hour that Martellus Bennett caught over 50 balls last year and had a career year? But apparently Kevin Gilbride hates tight ends, right?
Look at what they've done with tight ends the last couple of years. Jake Ballard, have you heard of these guys? Boss, they've put them in the game and they've thrived. But here's the other thing, and I respect the passion that Ann showed, and she sounds like someone who's followed the Giants for years, so she should know, Paul, based on also what we discussed, priority number one here in the Giants tight end offensive system is to block. If you can't block, how can they have confidence in letting you run loose? And right now, as you just evaluated, Brandon Myers and Adrian Robinson have room to work with to get better as blockers. So let's see them thrive regarding that facet of the football team and the football game before we start telling them to run fade routes and all other types of wheel routes for them to get involved down the field.
Ann sounds like a very nice person, and I believe she has conviction in what she said. Unfortunately, what she said was very misguided.
201-939-4513. That was the reaction I had not expected from you from that call. Look, Ann was very upset last week.
And a relatively calm reaction from Paul.
Yes,
because Dottino has gotten heated from our time here on BBK.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, speaking of which, I was admonished by my father over the weekend. He thought I was being a little bit too rough on you in our pregame segments on the Giants Radio pregame show. So he told me I have to pull back a little bit. I've been too nasty to Paul Dottino on the air.
He didn't like the way that I strategically avoided his question.
Yeah,
no. You have experience in that regard.
Yes.
You say strategically avoid. I say cowardly avoid. There are different ways to look at it. But my dad told me that I'm being too mean to you. So I'm going to have to pull back
the
a little Schmuck bit.
The family weighing in.
Yes.
Now.
Taking Dottino's side, which is really no surprise.
I know. That I'm stunned by that development. We may need to have an entire segment on the next pregame show on this. This is good. See, you're giving me new material, John. Be careful.
But you see, now he has joined your dad in being a Dottino member of the fan club.
Absolutely. Well, you know, my family's a big fan of the Dottino. They can't get enough of Paul Dottino on this pregame show.
All right, guys.
201-939-4513. Final call of the show. We're going to go to Jay-Z in New Jersey. What's going on, Jay-Z?
How you doing? They just cut Kenny Phillips from Eagles. Stevie Brown's here. I think they need to go get Kenny Phillips because he knows the system.
I think they'll give Kenny Phillips a look if he's healthy enough to play. I think they'll give him a chance, Jay-Z. I just don't know if he's healthy enough to contribute right now. That's why the Eagles let him go, whether it's the knee or the quad. Yeah, Giants have to see how much he has left in the tank. That's why they didn't re-sign him in the offseason.
I will say this, John, if I could just add one thing about this. Kenny Phillips signed a very, very cap-friendly contract with the Eagles.
That's correct.
And so they're not losing a whole lot by allowing him to walk. And I think that that's always something you have to consider when you see a player get axed from another team. Because in this particular situation, there was a very low risk factor and a very low cost factor for the Eagles. Sometimes a guy is kept or released from the roster in part because of not only the injury concern, but the nature of his contract. So just because Kenny Phillips has been let go by the Eagles, it does not automatically tell you everything there is to know about him. That's all I'm trying to say.
A lot of injury history for Kenny Phillips, but you're right. We don't necessarily know what red flags the Eagles saw.
We don't know.
And why they parted ways with him.
Go ahead, Jay. Real quick.
One more question. The linebacker, the only bright spot I see is Jacquez Williams. Williams, the linebacker. The young guy, that's only bright spot I've seen the linebackers.
I think we've seen Jaquan Williams, and Jay, thanks for the call. We appreciate it, man. I think we've seen Jaquan Williams get better throughout the preseason. He's making plays in the run game and the pass game, and I think we've seen him gain that confidence back. I still think he'll be a starter week one against Dallas.
And I think they're going to use him in a variety of different ways. Right. And I know that you're not sold, John, that they're going to use three safeties all the time.
I'm not sold on that at all because I think they like Paul said earlier in the show, they want to keep Anshor Roll at safety this year. They don't want to make him play corner, okay? So I don't think the Giants have another safety besides Anshor Roll that they trust to cover slot receivers. That's the reason I believe you're going to see much more traditional nickel packages because they have Aaron Ross, they have Terrell Thomas, they have Jaron Hosley, three guys that can play that nickel slot corner. And both Roll and Thomas, let's be honest, are pretty good against the run. They run support well. They don't mind getting physical. They don't mind absorbing contact. So I think you'll see a lot more traditional nickel packages with either Thomas, Ross, or Hosley, though I think right now Thomas and Ross might be ahead of him on the depth chart, to be honest with you, in that nickel corner spot.
Yeah, I agree with you, John, but I do think the lost headline over the weekend, everybody's talking about Stevie Brown, and it's dreadful in a lot of ways.
We haven't mentioned Terrell Thomas.
But the Terrell Thomas headline, which, hey, sure, the guy played 24 snaps, and not only did he look good, but came out of it good, John.
Yeah.
We talked to him on the post game. He said he felt fine. We expect him to practice this week. I'm sure he's going to play some against the Patriots. Folks, I got to be honest with you. I'm going to say this flat out on the air. I'm rooting for him. I hope he comes through the game okay against New England because he will be a lock to make the 53 as long as he can practice.
And Tom Coughlin said in the conference call yesterday that he really thought he played pretty well in that game as well.
He did. He was very active, and there were times where he rolled around on the ground, and you thought maybe he banged up the knee, bounced right back up. The key, though, Paul, is I know you're getting excited here, but let's see how he gets through practice also, not just how he comes out of the Patriots game. That's the real key with Terrell Thomas. Yeah. Can he practice three or four times during the course of a regular week?
Well, how about this? Can you bounce back in a short week? They're playing what? 4 days after they played on Saturday against New England, if he can recover,
Saturday,
come
Thursday's
back
5 day swing
and play, I think that's a great sign.
Oh, there's no question. And the thing about it is, too, with Hosley's sprained ankle, which you just don't know for sure exactly. We expect him to practice this week. We expect he's going to be okay, according to the coach. You know, he couldn't put weight on it the other day after he came out of the game.
Right.
It looked a lot worse than what it appears to be right now. But with Hosley being nicked up, Terrell Thomas's health right now is about three times more important than it was last Friday.
Here we go. Here's my practice squad. The caller asked me before.
I've been thinking
about it. I put this together.
You cheated. I haven't thought about it.
I want to get your opinion on it. It's okay. I don't need your version. We're going to go Kevin Hardy.
Could be.
Charles James.
Could be.
David Caldwell.
Could be.
Larry Donnell. Adewale Ajomo.
Could be.
Eric Herman.
Yeah, could be.
Selvish Capers.
No, I don't think he's eligible, John.
No?
I think he's had too much time in the
league. Ah, shoot. I wasn't sure about that one.
I think so.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Now, here's the question. Depending on whether David Boss is back for week one, do they try to sneak Mosley onto the practice squad again?
No way.
You don't think they do?
I think he sticks.
Okay. Then I have one spot open then, depending if Capers isn't eligible. But I think they do have some options. I know McCants was a guy that was on the practice squad last year. Maybe they keep him around again as a project. I think that's interesting. Do you keep a guy like Alonzo Tweedy, the safety? He was not let go in that initial round of the cuts. I know they think he has some talent there at the safety spot. Terrence Frederick, he's still around. He was not let go in that initial round of the cuts. He's a guy they can maybe think about. Tweedy was cut. He was one of the guys on the list.
Yeah, he was cut.
He wasn't the list.
He was cut.
That's my fault.
I'm
sorry. That's my bad. I actually read his name earlier.
I should have stopped you right away.
That's my fault. So I think those are some guys you could look at for that safety spot. Oh, yeah. You know, that's why I put Caldwell down on my list and not Tweedy. I crossed Tweedy out, and I have Caldwell on my practice
There's
squad.
There's one other guy, John, to mention. I don't think he's done as much as he has the last couple of camps, Matt Broha.
You know what? I had him on my list, and I crossed him out. I thought he was a possibility.
Yeah, he might be. Again, the Ajomo one, I don't know if he's eligible or not. I think he might be. If he is, you know, John, he still shows enough of sparks in games, albeit against backup guys, that I would probably try to put him there.
I looked at his game log. ESPN only has him for playing one, active for one game.
So I think he is.
A lot of times those numbers on those websites aren't accurate either. So I'm just not sure off the top of my head how many games he's played.
Just to follow up on Paul's point, I think he's right about Capers, because Capers spent the last two seasons on the Giants practice squad. You can't have more than two seasons on the same team's practice squad.
Oh, that's a great point. I didn't think about that.
He's been around a while.
Yeah. It's not the active issue. It's more than 2 years in the practice
And he was on the Redskins practice squad before that, but it's only the same team two consecutive seasons.
There
That's
are
a
lot of different rules that have been jimmied with the practice squad over the years. It seems like every year they change them a little bit or tweak them, and it's very hard to keep up with.
See, this is what happens when I try to figure this out while the show's going on.
Well, that's right. I didn't even want to try to attempt to do it.
You know, normally, I don't always side with Tino, but I got to give him a pat on the back. He warned you not to jump the gun and go through your practice squad team. You took the bull by the horn. You decided to appease to the listeners and the callers.
And I failed.
And this is what you get. You put yourself in an awkward position.
Hey, and before we go, and I know we have to go, John,
yes,
I got one question more for you two guys, because I thought it was curious how Tom Coughlin, we mentioned it during the game, had wanted to get three quarterbacks in the game against the Jets.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about the quarterback.
And Ryan Nassib never got off the bench. A lot has been made about how the Jets mishandled their quarterbacks in the game. We all know that story. But Ryan Nassib never came off the bench the other night. Even when the game went into overtime, they stuck with Painter, who I didn't think played very well, and quite frankly, I don't think makes the 53. But Ryan Nassib, who we all assume is going to be on this team, has had very few snaps.
Which is why I was surprised that the Giants didn't include a quarterback in their first round of cuts. I thought since they played Painter the entire second half and in overtime, that was their way of saying, all right, we're going to see as much of this guy as we can. We'll watch his performance on tape, and then we'll make our decision this week. That way you only have three quarterbacks heading into New England, so you can get Nassib more playing time. You figure out play David Carr quarter and a half, then let Nassib go the rest of the way. But now are we going to see both Carr and Painter on Thursday. I guess we have to. Why wouldn't you if you're going to keep one of them around on the practice on the team?
And that would come at the expense of Nassib, who in my mind needs as many preseason snaps here that he can get his hands on.
I thought Painter or Carr would be off this roster by today, and I was wrong about that.
Well, he does need as many snaps as humanly possible, Paul, but I think they envision him as a third-string quarterback this season, and they're going to give him as many reps as he can during practice, and
the
development will continue.
He's on the
Whereas
team.
Right now, they're saying to themselves, the battle between David Carr and Curtis Painter may be so close that they really want to see what these guys can do over these last two contests. That, to me, is what the signal was by not seeing Nassib on the field.
Okay. And I think what we're going to see now is a lot more of Painter on Carr on Thursday, like Lance said, because why would you keep both of those guys around unless there was a legit competition going down to the wire? Because like you said, you're going to take snaps away from your rookie. There has to be a reason both guys are still here to fight for a spot.
Nobody's run away with it at this
point. It's about the only logical conclusion you can come up with on Monday morning. I will say this, Eli's probably out after two series against the Patriots. If that.
Does he even play two series? He might not even play, to be honest with you. But let me put it this way.
You wouldn't play him at all?
Here's the question. Do you think Akeem Nicks plays?
Yes, I do.
Really? You think Nicks will play a series or two series? I don't think they're going to play Nicks. Cruz isn't going to play in this game.
No.
And I just don't know how much you really get out of having Eli Manning out on the field, especially with an offensive line that's still makeshift, and you worry about him getting smacked around a little bit.
I still think he plays a couple of series.
All right, maybe one or two.
Yeah, but then I get him out in a hurry. But I do get him in there a little bit because, quite frankly, as one of the callers said earlier, he has not had a very good summer yet. I'd still want to see him get a little bit more of that flow back.
I echo Paul's sentiments. I think you need to throw out your starters there at worst one or two series because you want to build some momentum. You want to take something with you into the regular season.
Look, right now, they can't feel – any of those starters can feel real good about themselves.
Not at all.
As we sit here today.
And even if you do it against the Patriots backups, you know, Belichick's not going to play anybody.
No. Well, he
so,
does.
Even to just get some type of confidence and rhythm. You know what? That's not a bad point. If you want to throw them out there for one possession and see if they can get something going, I'm okay with that.
All right.
You know, I thought this three-man booth would be a disaster today. I thought it actually worked out pretty well. I thought we had fun.
He thought it would be a disaster. What does that say about us?
Well, it's a small room. We got a lot of people jammed into a small area here.
The table is a bit crowded, but, you know, it's all right.
So now for the rest of the week, he's going to pat himself on the back and putting on his producer's cap that he made another great decision behind closed doors. You see, there's always some rationale behind the final comment.
I opened the door with Bosworth, didn't I?
Oh, you did. Hey, he's been tweeting about it for days, and he's going to carry on that.
That is not true. I have not patted myself on the back about that since it's happened.
Well, I tend to tweak the facts a bit. I'll admit that.
Well, yeah, you do. I don't like to take joy in the fact that somebody, you know, loses their job and gets released from a team. That's no fun for anybody. Mm-hmm. Happy for Kyle Bosworth, obviously, but, you know.
Good guy, by the way.
Aaron Curry's a good guy, too. Both of them are very good guys.
Yes.
And that was another low-risk move by the Giants because you brought up the Kenny Phillips situation with the Eagles, Paul. Giants didn't lose anything by bringing Aaron Curry in.
Exactly.
And speaking of which, if you guys enjoyed this morning, you can tune into the Coors Light Giants game day, which will come your way on Thursday night before the Patriot game. Make sure you tune in. I believe that game's on FAN. I don't think the Mets are playing on Thursday night.
You know
week.
Better than
I
we
believe
do.
They're on FAN. Check Giants.com. They'll have the information for you right there. But I'm 90% sure.
I don't know.
FAN
I think I saw 880.
Is it?
I believe it's an 880 game. All but right. I could be mistaken, too. Oh, I just want to try to mix things up. I don't know how much credit I really want to give him.
Hold on a second.
Oh, now he's going to delay the end of the
wait
show
a minute,
here.
Wait
uh-oh.
A minute now. Isn't the best news of all, though, that the game is always on Giants.com?
That is true. The game is true. So you can always tune in on Giants.com. We have our little roundtable segment of the pregame show. Paul and I will be in the locker room after the game. Lance Meadow and Jeff Fields will, of course, have all the stuff pregame and postgame as well. I'm looking up the schedule here. I'll have a feed in just a second. But
question is, who's right in this?
TV's Channel 4, of course.
Yeah, Bob Papa, Carl Banks, and Howard.
Don't let Paul distract you. Keep looking. Paul can fill the airtime.
And by the way, we want to pass on our condolences to one of our broadcast partners,
Howard
Cross, who missed the game this weekend down in Alabama dealing with the loss of his grandmother. So we pass out our condolences to him, of course.
No doubt.
Which he's had there to deal with that. Howard's a great guy. We wish the best to him and his family. As they deal with their loss, so
it was scary because Sean O'Hara was subbing for Howard on the sidelines the other night, and I had to hold him back. He wanted to get into the huddle.
I think Sean's done with playing.
No,
he
is. He is.
I thought somebody would have to hold you back from getting in the huddle.
Well, that's happened on many kickoff returns actually over the course of time.
I can imagine.
Well, it should come as no surprise. Thursday, the Mets are in action against the Phillies at 1:00. I teased him at everything. Look at him. Ooh. That is what you call a tease, my friend.
I got to get my bag out here. I'm sorry, Paul. But there was a chart that John Schmelk sent me earlier this season. And you know what? I think I left my papers at home.
Of course you did. How could
I'm telling you, I saw 880 on there. But we'll let him have this one, too, unfortunately.
So we're 66. Is that what you're telling
us,
John? Yes,
that is correct. I'm going to check that schedule that Lance claims has the other thing on it, but
you sent down a chart earlier this season. See, somebody reads the material.
And you're correct. That actually
Thank
on
you.
The chart, it does says WCBS AM 880. That's interesting. Maybe the Met game time got changed or something like that. All right.
Wow.
Occasionally,
silence is victory here.
Occasionally, Lance has to win one, and I will tip my cap to him on
Wow.
That. Anyway, go to Giants.com for all the latest scheduling on the game on Thursday, one way or the other. Everybody, great job this morning. Always having a lot of fun. Thanks for calling. Thanks for tweeting. We didn't get to any of your tweets. Mike and Nick Farm are going to be mad about that. Make sure you Lance tomorrow with Anita. You
we
get
will.
To their tweets, okay? And we will make sure we get to you guys tomorrow morning. The calls were great. Everyone, great job. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Giants.com. 9:30, Big Blue Kickoff Live. Lance and Anita will take you all day. Thanks a lot.